if he existed and chose to reveal it, God himself could clinch the argument noisily and unequivocally in his favour. And even if God's existence is never proved or disproved with certainty one way or the other, available evidence and reasoning may yield an estimate of probability far from 50%. Let us then take the idea of a spectrum of probabilities seriously, and place human judgments about the existence of God along it, between two extremes of opposite certainty. The spectrum is continuous, but it can be represented by the following seven milestones along the way.
1. Strong theist. 100% probability of God. In the words of C.G. Jung, I do not believe, I know.
2. Very high probability but short of 100%. De facto theist. I cannot know for certain, but I strongly believe in God and live my life on the assumption that he is there.
3. Higher than 50%, but not very high. Technically agnostic, but leaning towards theism. I am very uncertain, but I am inclined to believe in God.
4. Exactly 50%, completely impartial agnostic. God's existence and non-existence are exactly equiprobable.
5. Lower than 50%, but not very low. Technically agnostic, but leaning towards atheism. I don't know whether God exists, but I'm inclined to be sceptical.
6. Very low probability, but short of zero. De facto atheist. I cannot know for certain, but I think God is very improbable, and I live my life on the assumption that he is not there.
And 7. Strong atheist. I know there is no God, with the same conviction as Jung knows there is one.
I'd be surprised to meet many people in Category 7, but I include it for symmetry with Category 1, which is well populated. It is in the nature of faith that one is capable, like Jung, of holding a belief without adequate reason to do so. Jung also believed that particular books on his shelf spontaneously exploded with a loud bang. Atheists do not have faith, and reason alone could not propel one to total conviction that anything definitely does not exist. Hence, Category 7 is in practice rather emptier than its opposite number, Category 1, which has many devoted inhabitants. I count myself in Category 6, but leaning towards 7. I am agnostic only to the extent that I am agnostic about fairies at the bottom of the garden. The spectrum of probabilities works well for TAP, temporary agnosticism in practice. It is superficially tempting to place PAP, permanent agnosticism in principle, in the middle of the spectrum with a 50% probability of God's existence. But this is not correct. PAP agnostics aver that we cannot say anything one way or the other on the question of whether or not God exists. The question for PAP agnostics is in principle unanswerable, and they should strictly refuse to place themselves anywhere on the spectrum of probabilities. The fact that I cannot know whether your red is the same as my green doesn't make the probability 50%. The proposition on offer is too meaningless to be dignified with a probability. Nevertheless, it is a common error, which we shall meet again, to leap from the premise that the question of God's existence is in principle unanswerable to the conclusion that his existence and his non-existence are equiprobable. Another way to express that error is in terms of the burden of proof, and in this form it is pleasingly demonstrated by Bertrand Russell's parable of the celestial teapot.
Many Orthodox people speak as though it were the business of sceptics to disprove received dogmas, rather than of dogmatists to prove them. This is, of course, a mistake. If I were to suggest that between the Earth and Mars there is a china teapot revolving about the sun in an elliptical orbit, nobody will be able to disprove my assertion, provided I were careful to add that the teapot is too small to be revealed even by our most powerful telescopes. But if I were to go on to say that, since my assertion cannot be disproved, it is intolerable presumption on the part of human reason to doubt it, I should rightly be thought to be talking nonsense. If, however, the existence of such a teapot were affirmed in ancient books, taught as the sacred truth every Sunday, and instilled into the minds of children at school, hesitation to believe in its existence would become a mark of eccentricity and entitle the doubter to the attentions of the psychiatrist in an enlightened age, or of the inquisitor in an earlier time.
We would not waste time saying so because nobody, so far as I know, worships teapots. But if pressed, we would not hesitate to declare our strong belief that there is positively no orbiting teapot. Yet strictly we should all be teapot agnostics. We cannot prove for sure that there is no celestial teapot. In practice, we move away from teapot agnosticism towards ateapotism.